Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
All right, tonight I start a very brief series. Are you ready for it? Are you sure? It doesn't look like you are ready. All right, titled Broken Bones. Broken Bones. Amen. So it's a new journey, and I'm trusting God to help us. Amen. I want us to do something. I want us to pray in the Holy Ghost while seated. Something happens when your spirit is ventilated. You'll be able to assimilate more. Is that okay? Pray in the Holy Ghost quickly. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray, and when you are doing so, do it with consciousness. Do it with consciousness to break into the realm of light. Light, where light jumps at you. We are not dull of hearing because we are quickened by the Spirit. We are quickened of the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We are not dull of hearing. We are quickened by the Spirit. Please pray. Please pray. Seke frende koshi frande kero kosi plante kero koshente. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles, the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. The book of Psalms, chapter number 51. All right, the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. All right. If you're there, say amen. So I'm going to read the entire verse. In fact, you need to understand this passage of the scripture. I'm going to try to be as simple as possible. This was the Psalm David wrote after the atrocity with Bathsheba killing her husband Uriah. It's a very profound psalm, and I want us to hear his thoughts. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. There is the mercy of God, but there's also the tender mercies of God. Okay? For the sake of emphasis, let me just give you the difference. You see, the system of mercy is the provision that is made because you could not have measured up. Okay? Mercy is the provision made because you can't measure up by yourself. For instance, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and 4 from verse 1 says, seeing therefore we have this ministry, all right, having received mercy, we do what? We faint not. Say, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestations of truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But he said, we have received this ministry, having received mercy, we faint not. All right, so that this holy calling that God has given to us, we actually have obtained a part in it because mercy spoke first. All right, and that's what the author of Hebrews was trying to say. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Say, let us now therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy, and find grace to help. I want to just give you developing mercy and tender mercy. All right? So, if simple illustration. Never forget this one. Mercy is what you obtain, all right, in God, all right, because you could not have measured up by your own ability. It becomes tender mercy if after extending mercy, you fail to grow. It has to be tender with it because you are young. Do you understand that simple analogy? Right, that's it. All right, because the things that David was doing, it is not for kings now. Proverbs 31, it is not for kings. All right. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may what? Rejoice. Can we read that verse 8 again together? 1, 2, 3, go. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. One more time. All right, to have clearer understanding of that statement he made. Let's look at verse 9. He said, hide not your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Are you seeing that now? Right. The anointing to help sinners come back and transgressors get it right is coming because the bones have been broken. I'm going to go further into that. Meaning that now he's not speaking from the point of perfection. He's speaking from the point of mercy that he has obtained. Do you understand what I'm saying here? There is little you can do in your own self-perception and perfection. Let me say this to you. Anything you want to do under God that you feel 100% qualified for, you will not do it well. I've given this simple illustration. Go and check. Campus fellowships, any ministry. The moment they are ordaining somebody into position, and both the person and the church feels this is the most qualified person, experience has shown that he will be the most underperforming person. He will not be able to deliver. All right? Why? Because what it takes to do God's work is actually from the anointing you receive by depending on him. What I'm trying to say is that something must show you the need for a perfect savior. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Something must show you the need for him. So he said, when the bones that you have broken rejoice, he said, cast me not away from your presence. Renew your right spirit within. He said, then I will now be able to teach sinners your ways. And I've said it is not everybody that opens the Bible that can help sinners come back. Nah. All right, you'll just be preaching over the head of the people. Let me ask you a question. What has God delivered you from? What has God saved you from? Those are the areas of your broken bones. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going somewhere. All right. This is a very deep passage of scripture. All right. Verse 13 says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. You, God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open you my lips, and my mouth shall flow, all right, forth your praise. For you desire. Now, he now began to enter into some serious matter. This part, all right, please listen. Look at what he said in verse 16. He said, you do not desire sacrifice, else I will have given it. You delight not in burnt offering. You remember what God told Saul through Samuel? He said that obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. All right, so he said, you don't give us this scripture in Message. Is it a Message translation now? From verse 16 now. Psalm 51 from verse 16, Message translation. All right, look, I want you to look at what he said. He said, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. Somebody is coming before God and say, God, look at my righteousness. Look at my life. See how that I've never failed you before. I have never lied before. I have never been this. You don't need grace. He said, flawless performance is nothing to you. Look at verse 17 so you can understand. I will read it in, King James. All right, then we'll read the Message. He said, the sacrifices of God are a what? Broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart you cannot despise. Let me tell you something. There was a season I was attending a church. So every last Sunday or so, we do have Holy Ghost, Holy Communion. So we move from our area, then we go to the zone. So we take Holy Communion at the level of the zone. There was a zonal pastor in that church. All right. He has a form of, something was wrong with his leg. He was always limping. So the man has a way of playing the guitar. I sat down under the man. I observed. When this man is talking, he's not shouting. He's not making noise. But there is a form of anointing that makes this word hit every spot. I cannot explain. When you hear that, you are hearing the voice of brokenness. The contact point of grace is that place that is broken. Let me tell you something. If you ask me, who is the greatest human being I've met in my life? I think it's one particular guy. Years back, my NGO that I run, we're going to have an award. All right, we're going to have an award presentation for different other NGOs that were doing things similar to what we're doing. We invited them. There was this guy, I just invited the guy. I said, I've been seeing him on Facebook. And then we checked what they were doing, analyzed it. And then, ran through the table, saw that, okay, they were qualified for the award, invited them to come for the meeting. When I met this guy face to face, I had to excuse myself before him to go and cry. There is something powerful about people who are not blinded by their own light. There is something powerful about people who are at the end of their own rope. Let me explain what I'm saying. If you look at the letter that Jesus sent through the angels of the seven churches, the letters that were sent, all right, the church in Smyrna, the church in Pergamos, the church in Thyatira, the church in Laodicea, church of Ephesus, and all right, all the churches, you will discover that before he rebuked the rest, he talked about the reputation they have about themselves. The only church that was not rebuked was the church in Smyrna. Give me that scripture. Revelation chapter number 2. Let's look at the orientation. Listen to what I'm saying. If you can get this particular teaching right, people will not be able to understand where the flow of grace is coming from in your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Can they give me that scripture? All right, look at it. It said, write this to Smyrna, to the angel of the church, the beginning and the ending. All right? The first and the final one. The once dead. Can you give me this in King James translation? All right. Let's make it very fast. All right. Dead and alive. Yes, verse 9 now. He said, I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty, but you are rich. Many people don't know that spiritual poverty is the highest form of wealth. And that's why I said, blessed are the poor in spirit. They are the ones that will see God. All right? Listen. Let me tell you the secret. People tell me, I've seen people, friends, people call me and say, what is happening? When you teach, where is this thing coming from? I tell them. I say, every time I want to teach, I'm in tears before God. I am not coming as one who have a personal revelation. My heart still skips. It is coming from the point of, except you help me, I will be a sounding cymbal, clinging cymbal before the people. Your greatest strength must become nothing for life to flow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's go back to that Psalm 51. Look at what David was saying. All right. Said this church, they believe they were poor. Jesus said, you are not poor, you are rich. Look at what he told the Laodicean people. He said, if you think you are rich people, he said, you are very wretched. Go and check. Even when it comes to music, I love good music. Okay. But the power to bet a sound that will vibrate through the entire world is not in riffs and rounds. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not in riffs and rounds. If you can do it, fantastic. But that strength must become nothing for his own strength to flow. Do you understand that? We are going somewhere. All right, they said the sacrifice of God are what? Broken spirit and a contrite heart. It means, he said, oh Lord, you will not despise. That is, anywhere God sees brokenness, he can't take off his eyes. Look at that same 17 in Message translation. Quickly. All right. He said, look at it. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. I learned God worship when my pride was. All right. So when he said the bone that you are broken, what is he saying? Something happened to me that broke my pride. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen. Listen. It is possible not to allow God have his way in your life, but you'll still be successful. So this is not about success. You can be in rebellion and still be successful. Yes. But if you are going to become what God wants you to become, he will have to conquer you. If what you want to pursue is more money, get married, have children, no problem. That is table matters. But if it is the route of everything you, Lord, have in stock for me, you will have to go his route. In fact, the moment you sign up for that route, the first thing that will happen is that it will look like from the day you said yes, you began to retrogress. Look at what Daniel said now. They said, allow us eat pulse. Right? If you understand what it means, legumes and water. Some people say beans and water. He said, check us after 10 days. You signed up to follow God. You start comparing yourself with your colleagues the same day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, God, I'm going to follow you. Then the 10 days is God's appointed season. Oh. That 10 days may be 10 years. Oh. That 10 days may be, if they come in the ninth day, everybody will see, say, look at you, we have left you behind. But when that hand comes, the man will outrun those who are on chariot. Yes, in this kingdom, we are not fast by running. We are fast by waiting. What are we waiting for? The hand. When you sign up, that's why I'm giving caution. Okay? I'm giving caution. But the moment you sign up that this is the life I've chosen, it will start from you being behind. It is the principle. Except a grain of wheat first falls down and dies. And what people don't know is that death is part of progress. You allow people to mourn too soon and you join them to mourn yourself. Look at my life. Self-pity. Look at what I've become. Did you know what I finished with in school? Allow it now. There is a difference between the grain of corn that is sown and the one that is on the shelf. When they are done eating that one, this one is still producing for generations. Let me say this to you. Your life is either like wine or like milk. Milk gets spoiled with time. Wine gets better with time. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand. You have everything right in front of you. Plans, purpose, pursuit, everything is clear. I know who to call. They will fix me here, they will fix me there. I can get this settled, this. I don't have any issue. My uncle is this, my sister is this. I'll call them. Then God, in the midst of that, now said, don't. David is saying, there is a dimension of worship that flows when that thing I rely on is shattered. Let me tell you what it means to be blessed. The blessing is anything and any situation that leaves you with God as your last option. The kind of Christianity we are doing, that there are other options, God is just part of them. We have not started. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me give you an illustration now. You are a young girl, 26, 27. You've been dating this guy for 3-4 years. This is it. Marriage. Next thing. When you are preaching or teaching young people about relationship, there is a level of arrogance you will speak with because yours is settled. Two months to introduction, the guy serves you breakfast. They now call you to come and speak to young people about relationship again. It is from these broken bones that the grace to be a speaker now comes. The one you were saying before, you were just blabby. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a difference between the ones you are boasting about because you have advantage. When your advantages are taken, that's where messages start from. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we are talking about. All right. So suddenly now they serve you breakfast. Say, you go and cry. Because before, you when you talk to people about relationship, you say, make sure you dress well. Make sure you have done everything. Guys know the show. Do you understand what I'm saying? When all your formulas are no longer working, that is when you find God. And many of us have plenty of formulas. I tried this, this one, I tried this then. Okay, once I didn't do it. Sometimes it takes a lifetime for a man to come to the end of his rope. I think the most difficult thing for God to achieve in a man's life is to meet the man at the end of himself. Like, for a man to say, I'm tired, I'm done. Like, I'm done now. I've tried all my efforts. Nothing is working. All right? I'm at the end of myself now. Say, what type of relationship matters? Say, we are trusting God. This same guy, 2 months ago, just be licking his lips. Say, it's by bending. He wanted to go and ask a girl out. He believed that he has swept the girl off her feet. By the time he gets there, the girl said, you are not even in my thoughts. He's not your kind. Ah. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you get to such end of the road, that's where you find God. Let me show you a scripture. Genesis chapter number 19. Are you following what I'm saying here? Let me show you something. Genesis chapter number 17. What I'm trying to show you is that what God is trying to do with your life, if we can get this, we can go and start dancing. Because you have a major key. Look at what the Bible is saying, Genesis chapter number 17. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, then God appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. God could not say this when he was in his 70s, because then he was following God. But there was the option of Hagar, the servant girl. Ishmael was around the corner. So all those things were happening. But the moment he got to a stage where, listen to what I'm saying, no, the faith journey of Abraham and Sarah began when it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Isaac is not birthed when you are still having menstrual flow. Isaacs are birthed. When, do you understand what I'm saying? Isaac is God making a statement, I gave this one. That kind is not bettered when both God and doctors are arguing that we did it. What I'm trying to show you is that all that God has been trying to do is to get you to the end of your road. And then say, are you tired? Have you discovered that you are not that smart? Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you discovered that you are not that intelligent? Have you discovered that you are not as handsome as you think? Having discovered that, come and learn my ways. All right, and that's what the Bible was saying. The book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew 5:3, Message Translation. Matthew 5:3, Message Translation. Look, blessed are the poor in spirit. All right, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of. Ask your neighbor, when will you be tired? Are you following what I'm saying? When will you get tired? Listen. The first bone God broke in the Bible was the ribs of a man. And it was the issue of marriage. God could not achieve it without Adam sleeping. Let's look at all the things that happened when he was asleep. Number one, God broke the ribs. Number two, God closed the side back. Abi. Then God finished his work. If you are awake when God is walking, you will hijack the woman when God is not done. Give me like that. I'm 27 now. This is my plan. Go to sleep. A lot is achieved when you sleep. A lot is achieved when you enter into rest. Agitation brings nothing. Say you are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and of His rule. Something happened when Abraham clocked 99. One of the things that happened was that there's a way brokenness will make you more hospitable. Go and check. Anybody who is not giving to hospitality feels they don't need anything from anybody. I want to say this. I stand to be corrected, but I say it, all right, based on personal observation. It's not a doctrine. Some of the most hospitable people I have seen are those trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Do you know what it means to trust God for the fruit of the womb? Okay, don't let's even stay there because it's a sensitive matter. Do you know what it means to wait on God for something that you know that part of the option is that it may never come? If you listen to what I'm saying, if you are waiting on God, let's say for instance, as a man, you are waiting on God for a life partner, all right, that He has ordained for you. You are trusting God, who is this person? It is not because you don't have the ability to go outside of His will to ask somebody out. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you chose to wait for Him to bring His choice. And we don't know when that will happen. The person waiting on God for a child, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. The devil keeps reminding the person every day that, are you aware you may never have a child in this earth? When people are at the end of themselves like that, you find plenty grace around them. Let me say this, though. There are things we say, just talk, boast. Because you agree with many advantages. And you think you have a message. Are you following what I'm saying? Somebody was born in a family where there's a covenant inheritance of prayer. Father, you are the third generation of a praying family. I spent time in prayer. No. Let me give you an instance. The fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, part of that fruit is gentleness. True? That gentleness is not the natural one people are born with. When you are done exhausting that one, that's when we tap to the resources of this one. That's natural ability that you have. A situation will have to happen that will get you to the end of yourself in that. Then you will now learn prayer in the midst of tribulations. When you learn that and you speak, you will now speak seasoned words. That's when you'll be able to do like David, that now I can teach sinners your ways. You can't before until your bones are broken. But listen, we're going somewhere. All right? All that I'm trying to do is to bring you into the introduction. Are you following what I'm saying here? Is somebody being blessed by what I'm teaching? Is this simple enough? All right. Let me show you a passage of scripture. There's a story. Tonight, I just want to walk you through a story. Okay? A story. And from that story, we are going to touch many things. And that is the story of this very amazing young man, Jacob. Very fascinating story. All right. So I want us to check something together. All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 32. All right. Before I begin to read this passage of scripture, I want to give a background description of what Jacob represents. Are you with me now? Good. Jacob was that guy that words went ahead of him, that the elder brother will serve him. And the way he lived his life, it was clear that he got the gist. All right? It was clear that he got the gist. And he tried to get it by his own human effort. Jacob represents a very smart young man who is afraid of being left behind. Listen to what I'm saying. Anywhere you see pride, there is fear. A proud man is afraid. That's why he sings his own song, so that history can favor him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That if I blow my own trumpet, everybody will know I'm a powerful man. I will not wait for people to talk about me. Let me do it. Anybody who is proud is what? Afraid. Anybody who is rude is scared. Rudeness is a lazy man's way of showing strength, because he can't measure up emotionally. Alright? So it's this young man that was afraid. He was doing the things he was doing because he was afraid. The mother somehow had given him the gist. Your brother will do this. He was afraid. So he said, give me your birthright. You take this food. Are you following what I'm saying here? He was scared. All right, that if he doesn't find his way to get the blessing, he may never be remembered. All right, he was a young, smart boy, all right, doing all he could, all right, to be relevant. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, this same guy requested for the birthright from the brother in exchange for food. He and the mother agreed together and deceived their father. All right, and he obtained a word from the father, and he ran away, never to see both the mother and the father again. Okay? It was just someone doing all he could to survive. Just trying to survive. Trying to run the street. Okay? God was also, on the other hand, trying to get him to a point where he could get him to enter the blessing that was on his lineage. But the more God was trying, the more his effort was delaying it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you read the story of Esau and Jacob, and the father, when you read that moment where the father said to Esau, go and bring me the venison, I want to bless you then die. What you will think in your natural human mind is that if Jacob did not interrupt that flow, the father will give the blessing to Esau. Is God's hand that short? Was it not the same Jacob that was going to bless the sons of Joseph? If you remember Manasseh. At the last moment, God said he should what? Cross the hand. The issue is that when what God has promised looks like it is slipping off your hands, that is the exact time faith is known. Do you understand what I'm saying? When it is clear, I may never have this thing again. Let me give you an illustration of that. I want to give you an illustration. Imagine. Look at this situation. All right? Look at this situation. God told you that this sister is your wife. 2 months after God said that, you didn't even know how to go and meet her. You are just becoming friends, just gisting. This is all these brothers that will be talking on WhatsApp. Then the sister just sent a message to you that, please pray along with me. Oh, I'm having introduction with my fiancé. The first thing that will happen is that saliva will dry from your mouth. You are confused. You are sweating. You are all that. She noticed that he didn't reply on time. And he replied with, oh, praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? And then, maybe somehow, you are expecting that when they go for the introduction, rain will fall, it will happen. They did the introduction clean and clear. Everything happened. And in your sincerity, you went back to God. He did not say no. He didn't say yes. When God has spoken, and situations are happening contrary to what he said, and he did not speak again. He's saying, I'm still where I was. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, it is very easy to wait when the wind is not that contrary. But the moment everything happening is against what God has said he will do, that's when we know men of faith. Alright, even at that moment, can he say, my spiritual father has shared the story himself so I can share it. Alright, mama was, alright, he had done introduction with somebody else. And God had told him for over 10 years before that that's your wife. And the person has done introduction. After introduction, they went to check genotype. They said the thing. They know what it is. What I'm trying to show you is that sometimes God allowed the thing get to the extreme to see who you are. He did the same thing with Abraham now. He said, kill Isaac. He did not talk on the road and say, Abraham, you are a good man. It was until Abraham tied Isaac and raised the knife to slash his throat. Then God said, don't lay your hand on that guy. Now I know that you fear me. What could have happened? The same God is on the throne. It's the venison of Esau. God said, no. Did I not say to you before that this belonged to Jacob? God can interrupt. Rebekah and Jacob were too fast because of fear. When you interrupt the process of God, you elongate your wilderness experience. Are you following what I'm saying? You elongate it. You cannot get the result of faith in the energy of the flesh. You cannot bet an Isaac in the flesh. Listen now. When you look at Abraham trusting God for a child, was he impotent? But in Sarah, will your seed be called now? God has said, the seed I want to give you. This is the woman that... So the issue was not Abraham's inability to impregnate other women. He could do that every day of his life. And it was proven with Agar. Alright? He could do it. He could do anything he wanted to do. But faith now is, I choose to do it your way. I'm saying the things you are waiting on God for, you can do it your way. But all God honors is that you forsake your own way to say, I choose to do it his way. That's faith. Amen. Say, I walk in faith. Come on, say it again. I walk in faith. All right, so I'm going somewhere with the story, this story of Esau and Jacob. Okay? So let's turn our Bibles. We read this on Sunday. I just want to reiterate, then I show you a few things about this place. Alright? So if you look at the life of Jacob, you see smartness every time, trying to outsmart. He's a guy with so many formulas. He knows the way. No peace. He's right. There's no rest for him. His head is always calculating. Now, if this one doesn't work, it will work. All right. If Niger no work, Japan or UK. If UK no do, Jamaica or to Australia. All right. You look at all this formula. The person has options, and you cannot see where God is in the equation. You can do life, and you can have an economy that you can even be preaching about, that is a product of you not considering God. There is a success that you can actually get outside God, but good success comes from waiting on Him. Are you following what I'm saying here? So this guy, no rest, every time agitated and all that. You look at the story, Genesis 32, when they were going to go and meet Esau, he has already divided the thing. He has said, okay, you people should go here, I will come. Then another strategy is that we're going to send this, and then when we send that, it's just like church. Somebody is planting a church. He says, this person doesn't pray, doesn't fast, doesn't seek the face of God. Say that by time, right? Somebody was sharing with me something. Somebody went to plant a church somewhere, right, in a city. The person came to the city with millions of naira. Millions of naira. Listen to what I'm saying. Millions of naira. The fellow began to say things like, we are going to take over this city. We are going to take over this city. We are going to take over. When people are talking from their own human advantage, it sounds like faith until that point of the advantage is broken. All right, where was he talking from? We'll take over this city because we have money. So they will run service, and every Sunday they sit people down and share millions of naira and say, you people will do this strategy for billboard, this strategy for that. Listen to what I'm saying. The one who came with God, they'll be looking at him ahead. Are you following what I'm saying here? Human effort. Say, we run this strategy. At the end of the day, you spend over 50 million. Six members. People will tell themselves that, when I went to that church, they gave full chicken or first timer package. All right, hostel people, they will tell their people in the hostel. So you are you go and run them. We will go run another church. If it is not grace, it can't look like it. Are you following what I'm saying? It is this smartness, oh. It is this wisdom. It is this, I know what I can do. I know what I should do. I know the route. I know. When you come to the end, you will find God. You will. All right, let me quickly show you a few things. All right, so he went to meet Esau. His brother Esau said, listen, I'm blessed. All right, so keep the things you have brought to yourself. Now, the Bible said something very profound. Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. All right, look at the story. Verse 22. The Bible said, and he rose up at midnight and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over, all right, the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, all right, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. Listen to what I'm saying. The fight did not start until he was left alone. There are situations where you are stripped off people, or people are stripped off you, that you will cry. But it is God positioning you to know him. Are you following what I'm saying? That point you get to, that you are left alone. That point. That is alone now. That point. That point, as simple as we are saying it, it is a tough point for many to get to. Is alone now fasting. Is alone now seeking the face of God. You can get to that point through obedience to the promptings of the Spirit, or God allows situations of life get you to that point. Adversity can make you be alone. Obedience can make you be alone. If you would not choose the way of obedience, then God is not going to bring adversity, but he will permit it. That is, he will step aside and say that, go and check him out. The devil, if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, listen, the devil is a schoolmaster. When he thinks he's afflicting believers, he's actually assisting the purpose of God in the life of believers. Any way, anyhow, for a man that God has decided to walk with to be alone is a blessing. Look at all the life of Jacob, all the life things. The father blessed him. He went to wonder this. Finally! And Jacob was alone. The moment he was alone, we found out God couldn't wait. Some of you need to be alone. 3 days. 3 days. Alone with God. And you, because you are not used to being alone, it's not your thing. So you discover that when you come to that point of being alone to read the Bible, it is weird. You don't know when you pick your mobile phone again. Stop it. Be alone. The phone is a world you escape into. Maybe the screen is broken now, so you can be alone. Maybe it's now lagging, and when you press, it will stay long, so you can be alone. Maybe you can't even afford to buy data now, so you can be alone. Maybe the network of your house is exceptionally bad, so you can be alone. Don't escape. Don't run. Don't dodge. Don't hide. Don't emotionally hide yourself. God wants to catch you in the corner. The most beautiful things in our life, they are bettered when we are alone. That's where you hear clearly, pure streams. Many of us are in the midst of noise, agitations, buy this, buy that. Too many comparison on the internet. People who are ahead, those who are behind. And you forget that people post their best on the internet. And you feel you are behind in God's purpose because you are not alone. Comparing themselves with themselves, they become fools. Because you are not alone. The instruction God has, listen to what I'm saying. The moment there is a pregnancy a Mary is carrying, you cannot carry that pregnancy to the midst of crowd. You must carry that pregnancy to an Elizabeth who knows what it means to be alone. There are instructions that will die once you take them to where the crowd are. Even correct instructions will look wrong because it's not at their level of maturity. Be careful who check what God is saying with you. Particularly those who are loud, who are not walking in that level of devotion to God. When people, I tell people, see, people ask me, church grow dizzy. I said, see, have a structure to have moments in your life that you bolt the door behind you and throw away the key, seeking just one thing, light. If you look at the tabernacle of old, in the holies of holies, there's no light there. The light of that place is the presence of God. When you journey away from the noise and the cares of life, you come to that place where the illumination you will receive is God. If you come out from that place, you come out with that revelation. The first thing, go and check. Pray, see God. God gives you instruction. The moment you come out, the first thing you face is adversity, whose target is to kill the instruction. You can come out with a major word for 2024. You just can't tell the reason why your husband begin to misbehave, or your wife begin to misbehave, or your children begin to misbehave. Because the seed that fell on the rock is like one that receives the word. And then the sun comes, which is adversity. But because it has no root, it dies. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't just bear shoot upwards. Bear root downwards. Root is a lone journey. Shoot is in the midst of crowd. Listen to what I'm saying. Growth is two ways. shoot, and root, and what? Shoot. If you can preach better, they will say you have grown. It's not true. Root first is that we now know your prayer time has increased. That's root. Nobody is saying that. Your study time has increased. That's root. Nobody is saying that. Your concentration has increased. That's root. Nobody is saying that. Your worship has increased. That's root. Nobody is saying that. When you have root, you will have shoot. Many people, for the past 10 years, God has not been able to get you alone. Oh, this job, if this one is not working, that job. Oh, you have never paused and asked, what will you have me do? And amazingly, that was the first question of Paul when Jesus encountered him. Lord, what will you have me do? If that's the question you can ask in this season, what should I do next? What's the next thing, Lord? What do you want from me? I know what it means to be alone for years. 7 years. I want to share a bit of my story. To finish campus, we all had plans. Had plans. Things we could do. Alright, had plans. I already started high in London University of Tropical Medicine for masters. And my roommate, that we all were pastors in that room, called all of us at devotion in the morning. And he said, I had a vision overnight. And he said, I saw all of us walking in a vineyard. And when it was time and everyone were submitting their cutlasses, he said, you and I came to submit ours last. And the owner of the vineyard said, we still have 2 more years to work. So we separated ourselves, 3 days dry fasting, sought the face of God, and God said, stay with me in this land for another 2 years in fasting and prayer daily. So I began that 2 years. All right, because we have, at some point we began to ask ourselves, how are we going to survive? We are men, this is. You know what that means? It means all our colleagues have gone for service and they were uploading pictures. And after service, because I was the pastor, campus pastor, all right? The people you prayed for on campus, even your juniors have gone. And they are coming back to that same environment and they are meeting you there. And sometimes when you go for their meetings and they preach, they are stylishly telling others how not to be like you. Because when you say, except a grain of first fall down to the ground and die, you go, do you know what that means? No, you don't know reproach until you know death. Go and check. Go to the mortuary. See how they treat dead bodies. You will wonder. There was a time this person was alive. Oh. They will put the person there on the slab. This is. Watch this. The nakedness is open. When there's death, there's shame. And it is part of the growth process. Tell me you are strong if you have not faced death. Do you know what it means to die? Not fainting. At a point where there is no form of comeliness. Where people can almost write and put full stuff. How are the mighty falling? But that's when God is just inventing a story. And I remember in the midst of that situation, many times I will wake up in the morning and this one is saying, we have gone for lectures, we have gone to work. And I will be in the room. And I will hold the window of the room and shake it. Lose me now. Let me go. I'm not a lazy man. An instruction is binding you. You will head it. You can't see the one who said it. And you know you can't jump out. Because you have signed a deal. And sometimes you go for... And are you following what I'm saying here? What was I doing? 2 years straight up fasting and praying 6 to 6, 6 to 6, 6 to 6. All right, what was I doing? One time I tried to teach, God said, resign, stay with me in the place of prayer. I will carry my Bible and dress with a briefcase, like I'm going to work. Dress, tucking my shirt with tie. Are you following what I'm saying there? Tucking with tie. Carry my briefcase. What is inside? Bible, book, and Kenneth Hagin book, or some other books I read. I will go and sit down. They already gave me a prayer room in the orphanage home. I will sit down there, study the Bible from this season. By the time I'm done studying at night, when they are trying to study and praying, when they are now cooking for the orphans and the children, they will send one of them, go and give pastor his food. That is the daily bread. We go again the following day. Seasons where you know that you have a message, but nobody's hearing it. If you talk to people in your circle, small people, everywhere is charged. But it looks like there is, God insisted, the voice will not go beyond this. Because listen, God is not ready to export a voice of a man he has not matured. Are you following what I'm saying here? This thing, we want to jump out of obscurity. You better be careful. Be alone. Let God get you alone. Don't think. Don't argue. Just submit. It's difficult for many people. Okay, I give up now. What do you want? When will you be done? That's the question. When will you be tired? When will you discover that the race is not to the swift, and this battle is not to the strong? When? Do you understand? The moment one relationship ends, before it ends, you already have somebody else in your mind as a replacement, and you don't waste time. When? And he rose up at night that night and took 2 of his wives and 2 of his women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. No media interruption, no internet, no phone calls, no disturbance, no friends, alone with God. You need it. You need it. For some of you, this is a call for a retreat. This is a call for a retreat. You are getting too many unnecessary notifications. So tag you. Check. You need it. Ask your neighbor, when will you ever be alone? When will you ever be without a woman in your life saying, I love you? No relationship and nobody in view. Like 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 1 year. Let me show you a scripture. James chapter number 1. Oof. James chapter number 1. I want us to see something. Now look at it. James chapter number 1. Let's start reading from verse 3. James 1, 3. All right, says, are you there? Are you there now? Said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. The trying of your faith works what? Patience. But let patience have a perfect work. They call something patience. Now say, let patience work. That's not funny. There's this movie I watch, Zootopia. This cartoon, Zootopia. In that Zootopia, there was a creature there. All right? That creature, Sloth, When that creature wants to talk, say, "You are." Have you tried to talk with people who are very slow? I say, "How are you, Apostle?" I don't have time. I know. Why are you shouting? This is not stammering. This is being slow and meticulous. So the Bible now says, this is patience. Now say, allow patience to work. And this is not just work. Let her have a perfect work. If patience will work, you will cry. But patience now need to do it meticulously. That is, when it's done, now say, remaining the finishing touches. Meaning that if we cannot follow you if you have not true faith and patience. That is, the real faith work, there must be a testimony of a time you waited. Let me tell you something. It is not a work of faith if everything is instant. How do we know Abraham was a man of faith? He waited. The moment you cannot wait, it is not faith. Let me tell you something. I was going to show you this scripture later, but let me show you now. All right, Hebrews 11:22. Let me show you that scripture. Hebrews 11:22. I'm going to come back to this issue of patience. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you with me? Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me be sure it is that same scripture I want to show you. All right. Hebrews 11:22. Ah. All right. Okay. That's not, let me be very sure. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 21. Sorry, 21. Ah. Look at this illustration I want to give you. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning on top of his staffs. This is a very serious passage. Let me give you an illustration. Do we have anything that looks like a staff or a mic stand? Is there something like that here? I need something quickly. Do we have anything technical wise? Huh? Okay, that's a mic stand. I think it's doing a job there, but just find a way to bring it for me. I want to show you what this scripture means. For you to understand this, look at the book of Psalms 23. Are you following me? Look at what the psalmist said in Psalms 23. Psalms 23, all right, look at it, verse 4. Okay, let me make it straight now. I want to show you something. Psalms 23, verse 4. Look at what he said. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will do what? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What brings comfort? Huh? Your rod and your what? Staff. Let me tell you the difference. There's a clear difference. When the Israelites were before the Red Sea, when Moses was going to go and see Pharaoh, what did he carry in his hand? He said he has a rod. What did God say? Throw it down. The rod became what? Snake. Instant miracle. Before the Red Sea, straight over the sea, the Red Sea parted. Instant miracle. Alright? They need water from the rock. Eat the rock with it. Speak to the rod. He hit the rock. What happened? Instant miracle. Rods are instant testimony. Staff are those you will enter as a result of waiting. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't use staff for prestige. You use it for old age. The rod and the staff comfort me with that. The instant testimonies I get and the ones I learned through waiting. The one I entered through maturity. I waited on this thing. I did not see it. I went through a process. I got more than what I was waiting for. I got a man. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you began to trust God for your future husband. You waited. At the end of the day, you discovered that God was not just giving you a man. He was giving you a staff. So what happened? When the bones of Jacob was pulled out, he leaned on his staff. This one that is now coming from him is what he entered through maturity. The young generation have rod. The fathers have staffs. When they speak from there, It is not just what is being released. This thing has first made a man. Oh God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The same Jacob, the active man, agile man, the guy now began. Right? What was he doing? He was leaning. Ah. When you see the same person who used to jump around now become so gentle, now become so calm, now begin to give advice to the next generation, he has found something. Are you following what I'm saying here? Say it again. When you read that scripture, you will read it differently. So comfort is not just going to come through instant miracle. The one you wait on God for, and it looks like God is missing, is still comfort. Say your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Guy, they comfort me. All right, continue back to that scripture. That same James 1, I'm showing you something. That same James chapter number 1, I'm showing you something. Are you following what I'm saying? Is this simple enough? All right, look at it. That same James 1, I'm showing you something very, very important there, and I want you to follow me. All right. James 1. All right, so he said, let patience have our what? Perfect work. That you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is, when patience work in a person, the person becomes wholesome. Let me say this to you. If you are produced too soon, you will not be rounded. Oh, Nijino, you won't be well cooked. Somebody went to post about me on social media, and the person said, you are not, this person put my name, say you are not a man of God. God didn't call you. Fun fact, you called yourself. I said, no problem. All right. I know the generation I'm speaking to. I just muted the account. Let me not see the nonsense. Just do yourself. God said to me, he said, if you mute this kind of people because you don't want to see, you won't grow. Ah, I want to grow. I unmuted. As I unmuted, I saw the person's write-up. I saw one of my sons had gone to comment under it. What you have said is a big statement, but you may be right. As I read that, I said, fantastic. Listen to what I'm saying. I cannot react. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God, when you stay, this thing whip you. You will not have the energy. This energy you have, something will take it away, and is a very gruesome process. You can't deal with criticism. Just like the military. They ask you, what are you afraid of? Is it height? Is it water? That thing you fear is your weak point. You'll be made to face it till it becomes your strong point. What don't you like? Insult. That's what you will eat. What do you eat? I hate nobody can be rude to me. That thing, that's your next meal. You will eat it. Are you following what I'm saying? You will eat it till you say, I like it. When you come to that point, that's when you are ready to be served. Are you following what I'm saying here? I'm telling you. Because you can just come out. Anybody can be loud. But it takes when patience has worked for you to last. You will last. Again, I'm saying you will last. All right. Lift your hand. Say, Father, help me. Lift your hand. Say, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to come to the end of myself. My smartness has not produced anything significant. It can be useful, but God needs to help you rechannel it. Help me. Help me. Help me. Just take 1 minute and pray that prayer as I continue. Take 1 minute. Take 1 minute. Oh, Jesus. Take 1 minute. Take 1 minute. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Take 1 minute. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. Let me tell you something. All right. Last year, September, almost all my social media accounts were hacked and pulled down. We could not open new accounts. In fact, the media team were trying to open an account for me. They asked the person in charge, the head of our cybersecurity unit. They asked him, "Do you know Femi Lazarus?" The moment he said yes, they blocked him off Facebook, locked him out. They said, "We need to go and get a letter from the government, this, for us to be able to do." I said, "No problem." Do you know that event happened when God said, "I'm about to project your voice"? I'm talking about when God looks like a liar. That you can receive a prophecy, and the moment that prophecy came, the opposite began to happen. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you this story. I was preaching in a medical school. One of my friends came for that meeting. I didn't know what he was going to. He said he knew that if I should come for your meeting where you are teaching, I will get the interpretation for what I'm going through. I said, okay. So we sat down in the hotel room when I finished ministering. He said, "I got my interpretation." What was I teaching on? I was teaching on wonders in heaven. All right? Joel 2. He said, "I will show wonders in heaven and wonders on earth." That's what I was teaching on. Now, he described a situation. Look at this situation. It was privileged to be in a place. I won't mention the place. In that place, within the space of 1 week, Pastor Hie Adeboye, Bishop David Oyedepo, Dr. Paul Edneche, Pastor Bishop Ibiomie, in fact, there was a night, Bishop David Abioye, there was a night that the five of them surrounded him and they laid hands on him. When he told me they laid hands on him, I said, "Your problem just started." Let me tell you now. Do you want to eat bones? There are impartations that once you receive, what confronts that kind, you will pass it first to enter. This one, you are just putting your head, say, "Pray for me." Be sure now, you want to be enrolled in a school, be sure you pass. I was thinking about wonders in heaven. That is, what is a wonder on earth is not wonders in heaven. Job was a wonder in heaven. That angels were wondering that this guy has lost everything. He has lost wife, lost children, lost everything. Why is he not denying God? Do you understand what I'm saying? You must understand, when your life is a wonder, at the lowest point of yourself, when you are a reproach to men and you are in the will of God, you are a wonder in heaven. You are a wonder in heaven. Look at that scripture. Ephesians 3:10. Look at this scripture. Ephesians 3:10. "To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known," all right, "by the church, the manifold wisdom of God." Look at this. Give me this in Amplified Translation quickly. Look at this same scripture. All right? Quickly. Now look at this. Look at this scripture. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspect might now be known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers. That is, God wants to use you to show a part of his wisdom. He wants to use you to show another part of his wisdom. He wants to use you to show another part of his wisdom. Come. He wants to use you to show another part of his wisdom. When you look at this person, it looks like this person is at the lowest point of her life. When you look at this person, it looks like this person is at the highest peak of his life. When you look at this person, it looks like this person is even lost. We don't know what he's doing with his life. When you look at this person, it looks like this person is trying to. And yet, everybody is speaking an aspect of God's wisdom. Nothing is wrong with them. Just different aspect that has been spoken. I am saying that there are physical indices that we use to judge people that something is wrong with. And people can have those same indices in their life. And according to God, they are fine. If you don't understand this, you will give yourself certain yardstick that prove that you are in the middle, in the will of God. And when you enter a dimension, are you following what I'm saying now? That you are still in the will of God, but there is no physical thing to prove. You begin to cut yourself to sizes. Now look at my life now. Look at what I am now. Because you have placed rationales that are not godly. Let me ask you a question. Did the life of Job communicate the wisdom of God? Are you aware that Job entered trouble because God was boasting about him? Hold on. It was the... Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning that if you ask, this kind of trouble is because of his maturity. However, the nature of the attack was suggested by his fears. You test your most quality object. You flaunt what is most quality. There was a time in my life that when you enter my room, my biggest asset was my trolley. What did I have in that trolley? My books. I put that trolley close to the door. Once you enter, look at it. That's my life. When you get to the point where God is beginning to use you as a display of what his sons have survived because they love him. Okay. Please be seated. There's this song, I choose the way of the Lord. Choose the way. Can you raise the song? I choose the way of the Lord.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord. Oh, I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord, for the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, that same Genesis chapter number 32. Let me show you a few things further, all right, before we begin to round up now. Genesis 32. Are you there now? So where we have gotten to is verse what? All right, verse 23. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, all right, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, what the angel did was that he removed the joint of his thigh, all right, and then he could not stand again. He was limping. I'm going to show you scripture that shows that he was limping, all right. He was limping, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go, except you bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and you have prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray you, what is your name?" He too was asking, "What is your name?" And he said, "Why is it that you ask for my name?" And he blessed him there. Listen now, let me just give you simple plain terms. When God bring people that carry the grace to change your life, don't tell them, "Physician, heal yourself." There are people carrying the kingmaker anointing. They can make you a king that they are not. Don't ask them, "What is your name?" Some of you look at people and size them up and say that this person does not carry the grace to lead me because he's not walking in the dimension I want to walk. And Jacob called the name, verse 30 now. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose over him. The moment he got the change of name, the moment he got the victory, the sun rose over him. You know what that means? Visibility. He has been hiding. He has been in hiding. Agitation will hide you. When he conquers you, the sun will rise. The things you were pursuing in the energy of the flesh, they will begin to run after you. And when he came out, suddenly, the sun. You see, the Bible could have just said the sun shone. He said it rose over him. He came out. Have you seen people that you used to know, and they go to the place of prayer and come back, and they are different? It was Jacob that fought with angel. It was Israel that came out. It was Israel. Israel was bettered when the strength of Jacob died. How do you say he prevailed just when you have wounded him? When you have pulled his thigh out of joint? For the rest of Jacob's life or Israel's life, he was a blessed limping man. Blessed limping man. He cannot lay claim on getting that blessing by effort, because this is the scar that it took me time to cooperate with God. It took me time. The one you can boast about, you are still Jacob. When he pulls out your tie and we can see the scar, you say, listen, it took me time, but he conquered me. I was not that smart. I did not cooperate with him. I don't have what it takes to boast. This is the blessing, but this is the scar. I used to borrow money till they embarrassed me. So I've been there before. I'm limping. My heart has been broken before. I've missed God's will in relationship before. This is the scar. I'm limping. I've hacked somebody out without hearing what God was saying so before. This is the scar. And I'm limping. What is the scar? The person has blocked you on WhatsApp. They block you on Instagram. Say, this is the scar. At the end of the day, when you look at your life as a blessed man, your scar also reminds you of the fact that it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but of God that showeth mercy. Because each of those scars are loud enough to disqualify you for life. But it came true. How can a nation be better just when a man came to the end of himself? Israel is coming out. I said, Israel is coming out. I said, Israel is coming out. I said, Israel is coming out. Israel is coming out. Look at it. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose on him. That sun is going to rise over you. I'm telling you. You are not going to die in obscurity. How can you grow from a home where somebody promised you that you are never going to get anywhere in life? And the instruction God gave you just when you are about getting somewhere in life was an instruction that make that statement true. And as they do family meetings and have your family, and you join the family meetings, you sit down there. You are the reproach they said you will become. But the grain of wheat is still in its dead face. It will spring back again. You will have to choose one. Living your life to prove a point that they were wrong, or to obey God, you will first prove them right. Then they too will now come to learn God through your obedience. It is babyish to think when God gives you instruction, everything will look good at once. Some of you, God told you to come to Abuja. You don't know why, and he didn't say anything. When he pulled out the hollow, in fact, what happened to the thigh of Jacob was that the thigh became thin and tiny, because the sinews around that thigh began to shrink. The balling Jacob was the fast, agile guy. But the prosperous Israel is the limping one. In his weakness, God found strength. And God is glorified in it. And therefore, the children of Israel, eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of his thigh unto this day, because it touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Do you have scars? Scars that are result, that are the contact point of the anointing. The child that you have out of wedlock that refuses to abort is the hollow of your thigh that is pulled out. When you try to correct some people, they will tell you, is this not your own? But you are carrying the contact point of grace. Do you understand? Do you understand that? You carry it. Carry your own issue. You've been praying for people. Receive the fruit of the womb. And you are waiting on God for yours. It's the whole of your thigh pulled out. And they say, look at you. Do you have speed? When you release words, it goes forth with power. People get blessed. But you go back home and trust God for what to eat. It's the whole of your thigh pulled out. Just when they succeed, that's when you succeed too. When you succeed, he doesn't succeed. At a point in my life, I became everything I preached against. Oh, on campus, I teach young people. Now you have to be serious with your life. You have to be vibrant. By the time you are done from school, you've got to be able to do this. You've got to be able to do that. And God was quiet. He allowed me to preach all those messages till I finished. And he said, all those things you have preached, now this is my instruction for you. When God takes you in a route where your message looks like a lie, let me just give you few examples of bones. Few examples. What does bones mean? The bone that needs to be broken represents any form of confidence outside God. Anything you have confidence in that is not God. Let me give you an illustration. You know, there is a way somebody can promise you that I'm going to send you 250 million naira to start that project. All right, and this, and all that. Somebody has sent you a text message, I'm going to do this. The next minute, you are talking with your friends. You now begin to say statements like, do you know that people like us can speak things to existence? We are going to see it and all that. In fact, I know, I trust God. Another 2 weeks, I'm going to have 250 million. This is, what he's saying, when they are hearing him, they think they are hearing faith. He's actually speaking from an expectation. From man, that bone will have to break for him to find God, so he will not be lying again. This fellow will face disappointment. So when somebody now says, "I'm going to send you this," he will just be quiet. People will be talking. It will just be quiet. Just be looking and say, "We trust God." The energy to talk, it has died. God has mastered. Do you know what it means to say God is Lord? A Lord masters a thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just when you see the thing is coming close, now begin to speak it. A man of faith is the one who says it when it doesn't look like it. Not the one that is already looking at it and say, this is going to rain because the cloud has gathered. The cloud will disappear. Any form of, and that is why the relationship broke. You saw how long it took you to recover. Because you stop working with God as touching marriage, the moment the girl or the guy took the seat of God in your life, anybody who takes that seat is an Isaac that must die. Let me tell you something. Do you know it is in your best interest that anybody you know that you are the, you tell somebody you are dating, you say you are the proof of God's love to me. So Jesus is not enough proof. It won't work. Anything you don't want to die, don't put it in the seat of God. Let he that eateth be as though he eats not. There is no amount of money that can come to my hand now from experience that can change my mood. Because I discovered in the place of saying, I have hammer, that is when I will hear the voice, drop it. It's not like I'm playing God, but I just discovered that when it comes, I just say, God, what do you want me to do with it? You understand what I'm saying? One time we bought a new SUV, brought the car to the house. I was going on a trip. So we were waiting for the car so I can go. Immediately brought the car, I started trips with the car. All right. I got to the hotel, I called my wife. I said, the moment that car came, did your mood change? She said, no. If she had said yes, I would sell that car immediately. God is not going to give you another God. Somebody may say, how is it that tough? Relax. So God said to Abraham, go and sacrifice Isaac, your only son, whom you love. He said, what about Ishmael? You don't love Ishmael. God is not a fool now. The one that he knows what matters to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright, so bones represent any form of confidence outside God. Look at the case study of Peter. When Jesus said to Peter, he said, the devil has desired to sift you like we said before. Peter will say, okay. He said, even tonight, none of you be offended, and you are going to deny me three times. Peter said, I'm ready to die. He was not joking. He meant it. Just that the route was different. The moment they came to arrest Jesus, he looked for cutlass. Where's my cutlass? And he picked the cutlass. The person that cut somebody's ears was not aiming for ears. He was aiming for head. Think about it now. Can you just pick cutlass and cut someone? He wanted to pull the guy's head out. Then he cut the ears. The moment Jesus picked the ears and got me back, it occurred to Peter, this one is not sword fight. I'm stranded. He ran. His confidence was in the sword. Some trust in horses, others in chariot. But we will put our trust in the name of the Lord. When he saw that this is not my own method, he ran. When he ran, a small girl said, Peter, come. This is one of them. I know this one, Peter. He was the one stopping that guy. When he was saying, Jesus, have mercy on me, he almost slapped that guy. I know this man. Peter said, if I know, I'm not die. The Bible said he began to swear. How that in one breath was saying, I'm ready to die. In another breath, he said, would we have believed that Peter will be swearing about not knowing Jesus? Because the confidence was taken. The bone was broken. Your bone represents, the bone that needs to be broken represents anything you lean on outside God. That is, even when you run a ministry and say these are the highest givers in the ministry and the movers of things in the ministry, that bone will have to break. God is the one who builds his church. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very, very important. In fact, let me tell you something. Your salary can be a bone that needs to break once your salary becomes your confidence. That's the reason why, as God elevates you, you struggle with tithe. It's a psychological thing. It becomes big in your mind. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's a bone that needs to break. When are you going to say, don't worry, that project, I plan it for the end of the month. You have deleted God from the equation of the blessing. You have put your salary there. Do you understand what I'm saying? When are you going to do this? Say, month ending. They call you from home. Say, your younger star, you say, when are you going to do this? Month ending. As if God doesn't exist until that money comes by month ending. It's a bone. It needs to break. All right. The bone that needs to break represents anything that is conveniently promising you a future that you don't need God for. Anything that seems to be presenting before you a future you don't need God for is a wrong thing. It needs to break. Let me wrap up with this. God is never going to give you what you will not need him for. Is there somebody who is blessed tonight? Can I lead you to pray? Are you sure? I want to give you 2 minutes. Find a spot between you and God. This is the prayer. Father, confront my life and check anything you need to break. It's a very serious prayer. Now, check me. Scan me now. Scan me through and through. Scan me over and over again and check. Scan me. Scan me. All right, I need to pray that prayer. Scan. Please pray. Yes, raise that sound. Please pray. For some of you, this meeting might be a point of God showing you that I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing.
There is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for. It is the place where deep calls to the deep. I am overwhelmed,
oh, yes,
by this deep longing, Lord. There is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for.
Yes, Lord.
It is the place.
You have a space in my heart.
Where deep calls to the deep.
Oh, yes.
I am overwhelmed by this deep longing, Lord. Take me, Lord, to your secret place, Lord. Take me by your hands to your holy place. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more than I have known you, Lord. Take me, Lord, to your secret place, Lord.
Scan me.
Take me by your hands to your holy place.
Oh, yes.
Oh, let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more than I have known you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. You are not failing. It is just construction in process, in progress. Except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. you are not failing. They've left you behind. It looks like you are the odd one out. Wait and let patience have a perfect work, that you may be whole and entire, wanting nothing. All right, lift your hands, everyone, wherever you stand. Father, I ask concerning your children tonight, that as you revealed yourself to Jacob in a different dimension, let everyone under the sound of my voice have a very special encounter with you. Everywhere people have thrown away motivation and they are feeling they are failed, and it looks like they are the odd ones out, I ask that you will reveal yourself as the master over the storms, in the name of Jesus. My Father, my God, I ask that there will be a scanning, and you will check everything that needs to be taken out of the way, in the name of Jesus. Help your children, in the name of Jesus. Let this teaching become a message of your own counsel for the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want to believe someone has been blessed today. Give Jesus a very big hand. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.